Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Carol Masser. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
One singular sensation. Every little step she takes.
Man, that takes me back. Do you remember that Broadway show, A Chorus Line? Did you see it?
Fosse.
Oh, it was so great. All right, one singular sensation. Actually, our next guest says that the financial markets have been subject to Broadway's Chorus Line's effect as they possessed one and only one singular sensation. All right, here to kind of tell us exactly what it means is Doug Sciocca. He's chief executive officer and partner at Caver Capital Partners. They've got about $275 million in assets under management. He joins us on the Ring Central phone line from Leawood, Kansas. Doug, good to have you here on Taking Stock.
Hey, Carol. Thanks. Hi, Tim. Great to be here.
So talk about this one singular sensation.
Well, I mean, we wrote a newsletter, and we really thought that the title typified that there's been an ultra and really singular reliance on the U.S. equity class in the first half of 2013 to generate any positive portfolio returns. And, right, we contemplate the question, right, is this a one-half-year wonder, or can it persist through the end of the year?
What do you think?
Well, we really think that there's going to be a much more refined filtering that takes place in the last 6 months of the year. And even on the market report that one of your counterparts was giving out before we went on and talked about, geez, you've got Whirlpool up 8% and AMD down 16%. And granted, this is in the midst of the second quarter earnings season, but you've got an S&P that's flat, got a Dow that's down, you have a NASDAQ that's down 1%. That is not a rising tide effect that we felt throughout the bulk of the first half of the year, saving maybe a 2.5-week period between May 22nd and the middle of June. So we think that we wouldn't predict it to be a big catastrophic market decline, but probably more stock-specific value orientation. And we think there's a real good chance that the general market has hit its highs for the year.
Hit its highs for the year. So what do you do with your money in the meantime?
Well, and I think that's where we have really, Tim, embraced very active management with a value orientation, and we really think some of the pretty parts of the pie chart that had been neglected for the first part of this year could have a more significant impact. And we're not bearish on stocks, but we're certainly not going long the market. And we think that is what we're seeing and we'll continue to see because, right, if you think about just as a backdrop for what propels and generates equity market returns, you get corporate profitability, you've got dividends, you have inflation, and then ultimately you have multiple expansion or contraction. And in an environment now with little economic growth, with no serious inflation, and no real dependability on the persistency of the Fed's benevolence, we think you take that multiple expansion off the table.
This is Taking Stock. I'm Pim Fox, my co-host Thanks. Carol Masser. We're speaking with Doug Sciocca. He is the chief executive and partner of Caver Capital Partners. He joins us on the Ring Central phone line from Leawood, Kansas, helping to manage nearly $300 million. Doug, I just want to move you off stocks for just a second and get your reaction to the bankruptcy filing of the city of Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, it's very unfortunate, and I think Rick Snyder, who's their governor, was put in a very difficult position and probably used his best discretion in making that difficult decision. But, you know, I don't know if you've had a chance or if any of your listeners have had the chance to read a book that Meredith Whitney published a couple weeks ago or months ago called Fate of the States.
And yeah, we've talked to her about it, yeah.
Oh, it's a fantastic book. And right, Carol just talks about, I mean, years of low return spending and high entitlement obligations and when in an environment surrounded by a lack of pro-growth fiscal policy. I mean, this can become an inevitability, particularly in a state environment where you've got an obligation to balance your budget. It's very difficult.
Does this have any effect on investors in terms of investing in municipal bonds, for example?
I think so. I don't think it is the siren sound that Meredith had called for several years ago about hundreds of billions of dollars of the municipal default. I think that, right, when we had reasonably strong windfalls of tax revenue, whether people were trying to pull forward an expected increase in capital gains levies coming into 2013, just a general improvement of the housing market that has increased property tax revenues, you're hopeful that what it does for state financial executives and state financial treasurers is it gives them some high understanding of the consequences of poor capital allocation and leaving some proverbial hay in the barn in the eventuality of a downturn in future revenue. But I think it certainly reintroduces to the investor the attendant risk of municipal credits and leads you to have to sharpen your pencil and understanding to whom you're lending your money. And that, I think, long-term is a very positive for credit investing.
Well, and that, Doug, I mean, are people going to kind of be rewriting the rules coming off of Detroit when it comes to municipal investing?
I'm not sure, Carol. I mean, I think that what we're going to have to do is find out, you know, what is a unique, what part of this is unique. I mean, if you took a stock corollary and said, well, there have been telecommunications companies back in the late 90s that filed for bankruptcy, and, you know, what was the common element, and does that carry over into your analysis of something like an AT&T and Verizon? Well, no, it really doesn't, right? So there's certainly some specific nuances that need to be parsed out before you draw a general conclusion about municipal bond investing.
Turn your attention now to the stock market. You talked about maybe even taking some profits. What would you do in the meantime before you decide what to do next?
Well, I think patience is a critical virtue in this market. And, you know, I think that, we talk a lot about analysis, and you talk a lot about the macro. And what we saw is that it's difficult to calibrate the emotional component to making wise investment decisions. And we talked to Pim and Carol a month or so ago, shortly after Bernanke had first used the term taper. And then the absolute firestorm of volatility that it triggered as people began to pull forward the expectations of the maximum possible adverse consequence to rates going way up really fast. And what's taken place since that emotional purging was rates have come down considerably. So we think if you don't find a broad-based value landscape in stocks, it is not a bad thing to continue to look at fixed income options with reasonably strong tax equivalent real rates of return, right? If inflation is going to be low, which we see a lot of indications that it will remain so, there are ways to lock in positive real yields and positive real rates of return that should continue to receive some underpinning of both demographic and the safe asset quality characteristics that keep value in that asset class.
All right, what's your best strategy for doing that at this point?
Balance.
Right? But we always talk about balance, Doug. What's different this time around?
Or is it the balance, Carol, I think, that has actual negative correlation. Right? The balanced funds are great investments, and the 60-40 portfolio that's very common in portfolio management is popular for a reason. But what we saw in the course of the heightened volatility that existed for a 4 or 5 week period in May and June was that a lot of asset classes positively correlated and they all fell down. And what I think would enable people to do is to determine if that is somewhat of an indication, right? If that is the canary in the coal mine, whether that's an inflationary, a stagflationary, or a growth coal mine, understand the correlation of the classes of assets that you own and refine the way you combine them. So the balance of just the traditional asset classes, stocks and bonds, I think needs to be augmented in the next 6 months, in the next 6 years, mm-hmm. because I think the challenges that persist are going to be very, very prevalent, and I think we can't count on the Fed to continue to bail us out.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get enough people to think that way. Doug, thank you so much. Doug Sciocca, Chief Executive Officer, partner at Caver Capital Partners, joining us on the RingCentral phone line from Leawood, Kansas. You are listening to Taking Stock on Bloomberg Radio. I'm Carol Masser, here with Pim Fox.
Taking Stock, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.